Chats from the Blog Cabin.
This is your favorite time of the week with your number one podcast.
Come join Melissa and her guests on the Chats from the Blog Cabin podcast. From North Carolina, this podcast will have you feeling like you've known these folks for years. Listen in as they chat about life, culture, current events, and more, all with a special Southern flair. Curl up with your favorite beverage and get ready to be entertained. Tune in now for a unique experience that's fun and insightful.
Y'all, welcome back to another episode of Chats in the Blog Cabin. It's a solo episode. I do have one episode back, hoping to get a couple more episodes recorded in the next couple weeks. Who knows? But what I'm coming to you today to talk about is the misconceptions of working from home. Most people think that when you work from home, you basically just like sit at home all day and do nothing. I mean, honestly. They don't look at it like you have a regular 9-to-5 job where you clock in and you clock out. Unfortunately, that perception is not, Unfortunately, that perception of working at home and being able to schedule your time, yes, you are flexible in your time, but you also have commitments, you also have deadlines, you also have things that you have to do to continue to have your business be a success. I work for myself. I am the content creator. I am the editor. I am the photo taker, unless Gracie's with me and then she takes some photos. I am the social media person. I am everything. I'm accounts payable. I do all the taxes. I do basically everything in my business is me. And I'm getting to the point now where I know I'm going to have to hire an assistant to help me out. But what bothers me about this is when things that are said like, well, I go back to work, so you're going to have to do some things. And I'm like, wait a second, I work too. I've worked throughout this whole situation. It just bothers me that people think because you work from home that you basically can go off and do whatever you want. And you don't have any set hours, and I do. Yesterday, I'm recording this on Thursday. Yesterday, I was in my office from 8:30, 9 o'clock, left, took a little break, went to Starbucks, got a white chocolate mocha, iced because I needed some caffeine, and dropped off a drink for my daughter and came home and worked until my husband finished dinner at 7:30. I mean, he cooked dinner last night. So you're talking 8:30 to 7:30, and I still was not done. I still came back out and worked after I ate dinner. My inbox every day is flooded with things, and it's getting to the point now where it really bothers me when these companies, when they ask me to work for them, and I'm like, yes, okay. I reply back, yes, absolutely, 100%. You're in the queue. I'll get to it when you're down there. This one particular company that I work with, they send me a lot of content or a lot of things they want me to create content for. So I create content. Their turnaround time for paying is within 24 to 48 hours. I've noticed recently that their turnaround time for the even responding back to my email is a week to 2 weeks to 3 weeks out. And I'm like, okay, well, turnabout is fair play. They email me telling me, oh, do not send follow-up requests on the status of this order. Well, I want to know because I need to mark it in my accounts that it is either paid or is pending or they even received it. So I have a thing called Boomerang for Gmail that I actually just have it come back in my inbox if they haven't paid within 3 days. I'll say after 3 days, if I haven't heard back from them, haven't seen anything, haven't paid or anything, it'll boomerang back into my inbox so that I know that's an outstanding balance, an outstanding invoice. Well, then I'll send it back out again. Because after 3 days, I figured, you know, if it shows me they haven't even opened it, that's something that people should be, you know, like, pretty cautious about, because I've been burned before where I've done the work and invoiced them and they not paid me. And then I get this email back from them, a very snotty email saying, we're very busy right now. And now whenever you send these follow-up emails, that it takes you to, we work from the bottom of the queue to the top of the queue. Meaning they work from the bottom of their emails going up to the top. And that, because of that, it's bringing those things back up. So please refrain from resending or doing the follow-up emails. I was like, okay, fine. I'm going to wait. Well, a couple of days later, I get an email saying, oh, this is the funny part. A couple of days later, I get an email saying from them, oh, we haven't heard from you. And it was like 2 days later from a different content they wanted me to create for them. 2 days later. And I hadn't gotten to it yet. Oh, we haven't heard from you. But it's like, they don't see what they're doing. How they're replying to me doesn't apply to them. It's like, okay, well, you haven't answered our email within 24 hours, so boom, we're going to send it back out to you. But you haven't answered my email with the content that I created for you in 3 days, and I follow up within 3 days, but you follow up within 24 hours. You don't see how that's a problem. You don't see the same situation that you're telling me that, yes, I work from the bottom to the top unless I see something at the top of my email that's very pressing and I need to get done immediately. So what they're doing is they're bringing that email back up to the top of my list. So I once again emailed them and I said, look, what you just told me about emailing and not continuing following up email, you're doing the same exact thing to me, but it's okay for you to do it because you're a huge company with multiple workers and I'm one person. I'm busy. I'll get to it. I responded to you. Yes, I'm very busy, but I see it. I'm going to do it 100%. Multiple times I've emailed back, please stop sending follow-up emails. And I'm like, I'm sending up follow-up emails because I want to make sure that I know that I can mark it down that it's been paid. So I get one today, and they said, oh, please remove this content from your site because you didn't reply. This is after it's up. This has been 5 days after it's been up. They sent one edit. I wasn't able to get to the edit yet because, once again, I worked from the bottom up on my email. They knew how many emails I basically have sat down the last few days and gone through. It's mind-blowing. I mean, I, at one point in time, had 20,000 emails in my inbox. And they said, oh, please take it down. We're not going to pay you for it. And I'm like, wait a second. You email me. I send you the content Thursday. Don't hear back from you until Tuesday that something needs to be done. Now, I understand people get busy. I understand things fall through the crack. I get that. But the same situation that you're telling me not to do, you're doing the exact same thing to me that you told me not to do. But then you're taking money out of my pocket. I did the work. You're not going to pay. They said, oh, we've since had to place this link somewhere else. And I'm like, wait a second. I replied back to them in a timely manner when I saw it. It's extremely busy right now, going through what I'm going through. You know, my mom being in the hospital, having to go back and forth because I've not been feeling the best right now. I'm trying to sit up taking this to record this episode, and my stomach and my esophagus and my chest is just on fire, and I don't know how much longer I'll be out here in the ball cabin. And I'm like, wait a second. I reply back saying, it's extremely busy. I will get to it. I acknowledge that I got it, but I will get to it. And they come back with, which is, y'all, the funny part is, I copied and pasted word for word what they sent me about the email when I would send up the follow email. I word for word sent it back to them. And they said, because we didn't hear back from you, because this article wasn't up in a timely manner, which it was, the edit wasn't done in a timely manner, that they were going to take it away from me. I'm like, wait a second. Why is it that the little guy is the one that gets crapped on? Why is it that the little guy is the one that, okay, you know what? You have no say over this. Yeah, right. You work. You're working. 100% working. I told them I was working on the edit. I just couldn't get to it. This was Tuesday. I emailed them Wednesday and told them, hey, I see it. I acknowledge that I got it. 100%. We'll get to it. But like you, this is an extremely busy time. Da, 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 da. The whole email back that they sent me, I sent back to them verbatim, copied and pasted, put in the email. Today is the day I got. Now see, I sent the article Thursday. So they had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 6 days before they came back to me with an edit. And then they expected me to get the edit done within 2 days. It just bothers me. It bothers me with this misconception that because you work from home also, that you can just go off and do whatever you want. You really don't work. I probably put more hours in on my job working from home than I ever did working anywhere else. But because I know that if I don't do it, it doesn't get done. I don't have paid time off. I don't have PTO hours where I can just say, oh, well, you know what? Today I just don't feel like working. Yeah, there are some days where I can do like that, but I pay for it after that. Even when I'm visiting my girls, when I took the trip to California last year, when I took the trip to Charleston and Nashville this year, when I go to events with my girls, I'm still working 100%. I get up early and I work. I don't hit all my inbox, but I do hit the important parts of my inbox. If there's anything pressing, I put it up there. And if I'm happen to be traveling, if I'm in the car, my husband's driving, and there's great Wi-Fi or my hotspot's on, then you know I'm working. Because that's the thing. I can work from anywhere. But the thing about working from anywhere is I can work from anywhere answering emails, but I cannot work from anywhere writing articles are creating content, because I need the concentration. I need to be able to not be disturbed when I'm in a train of thought. And my husband, I love him to death, but he gets to the point sometimes where he'll, even when he just comes in and peeks in the window, it breaks my train of thought. So I had to make a stop sign for my blog cabin out of washi tape. And it's on a little chalkboard. It says stop. You think that stops him? No. But I hang it on my door whenever I'm really into something, or when I'm recording an episode or anything, it's there. And when things are said to me that are not, that play with my mind, let's just say they're mind Fs, that's all I'm going to say, then it's hard. It's hard. I absolutely have a friend who totally gets and understands where I come from on this. And we kind of, like with each other go, hey, you know, I thought about you today, and I actually thought I was going to be able to go see her this week just to give myself a break. But unfortunately I couldn't. It's getting to the point now where everything is just coming in on me all at once. And all of a sudden, you know, people that didn't want me in their life want me in their life now because I can serve a purpose for them. It's really got me asking and looking around to go into counseling, because guys, it's always great to have someone on the outside listen to what you're talking about, because sometimes you can only go so far with venting to your family, because honestly they get tired of hearing it. So I've actually started looking for, and I've mentioned it before, there's no shame in trying to find someone, a counselor, who will talk to you, who will, like, an outside third person, outside party, that kind of gives you a better idea of what you're doing and how you're doing it. How to go about and some coping skills, because right now I'm just barely treading water, and I will say that 100% right now, I am treading. My head is just barely above water. With everything that I have to do, with everything crushing down on me, I know that's why I have to look for other options and things to how to cope, because it's taking a toll on me mentally, physically, thank God, it's not got me spiritually. If anything, it has made me cling closer to God. It's so funny. I'm starting to do this Bible study by myself. It's called You Belong. I think that's what it's called. I'm going to look it up real quick. It's called You Belong. And it's about everything that I've seen so far, that I've looked at so far in the last couple of years. I mean, the last couple of weeks, I should say, but everything going on. It's amazing that everything is kind of coming together. Trying really quick pull up because I was reading this. Just, She Belongs. That's what it's called. She Belongs. And it's about, let me just read you what the little thing says. She Belongs. Katie McCallum knows how it feels to handle life all on your own. Through her struggles to keep up and catch up, she discovered that our quest to keep it together will eventually cause us to fall apart. The six-session Bible study with included videos shows us the key to keeping it together is coming together in the body of Christ. To find a true sense of belonging by shifting our identity from our scars to our Savior, pressing into the body of Christ instead of pulling away from it, especially when life falls apart. That's me right now. Understanding that we're never safe or isolated, and cultivating conditions that move us from fine to flourishing. And lately, I've been fine, or not so fine. But the whole particular part of the story, of the things that I'm telling you about with this She Belongs, is the woman in the Bible that had bled for 12 years. And I don't know if you, she had an issue of blood. It's in Matthew. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. But it's in Matthew, and it says, a large crowd followed, and no, it's in Mark, excuse me. Mark, Matthew, and John. So I'm just going to read all three of them. A large crowd followed and pressed around her. And a woman who was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, and she felt in her body that she was freed from suffering. Because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I would be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped. And then Jesus turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you ask, who touched you? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what happened to her, came and knelt at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. That was Mark 5:25-34. And then Luke 8:43-47 says, as Jesus was on his way, the crowd almost crushed him. And there was a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. In one of the Bible translations I read, it said the hem of his cloak. And immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. The woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been so instantly healed. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. And the last one was Matthew 9:20-22. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if only I could touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed from that moment. Now, everything that I've been reading since I've read this, and I started doing this study on Monday, and you know, most of my single episodes come from study. If you hear rain, sorry, the sky just opened up. But every single episode comes from a Bible study I'm doing or something happening in my life. I don't know how many times I have seen the hem of his garment. There's actually a book that I just put on my wish list on Amazon called The Hem of His Garment. And it's like, in that particular Bible study, it said that, you know, sometimes we're on the outskirts, we're on the edges, and the edges of things, and we're not quite fully invested into what we're doing, and we're not quite fully there, but we're on the edge. We're like, any little thing can make us take that big leap of faith into something amazing. And that's how I feel. I feel like I'm right there. I'm about ready to touch the hem of the garment, but the garment is in my sight. It's in my line. I see it, but I just can't touch it yet. I just can't touch it. And I'm asking God, please help me. Get me through this. Let me be able to touch this hem so that all my unforgiveness, all the things that happened to me in my life, I can just be healed from. To the little girl that was told she wasn't pretty, to the woman that I am now, to the mom, to the wife, to the friend, the friend that always feels left out, the friend that feels like she doesn't belong with anybody. I just want to be released. I just want to reach out, and I want to touch that hem and say, God, I have faith in you. God, I know you're going to get me through this, and I know God is getting me through this. Because there has been times in the last 2 weeks that I really have wanted to go off. And me going off is not a pretty sight. And I am just like, I just want to go off. But I stop. And I remove myself from the situation. I say, okay, I need time. I need time. Because mentally and emotionally and physically, I cannot handle what's going on. And unfortunately, that's a part of my life. I have to be right in my head to not react, but to say things in love and not to react in anger. And there's so many times in this past couple of weeks that I've just really just wanted to just like go off on somebody. And I haven't. But what I have done, and this is one of the things I have done, I've reached out to friends and just texted. I've also reached out to a friend who I haven't seen in a while, who I've seen grow leaps and bounds. And I'm having lunch with her tomorrow. She's actually been on the show. And I've reached out to getting therapy, to get counseling, because I realize it's not fair for my family to be the people that I vent to all the time, that I need an outside person to vent to. I'm hoping that maybe tomorrow I'll get a clearer picture of what exactly it is that I need, that I want, because I'm going into a very stressful time where I literally I had yesterday, I had to turn in all 10 projects for the first 10 weeks of the live show. And I have been putting that off for weeks because the thought of an Excel spreadsheet was just making me go berserk, go bonkers. But yesterday, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I got it. I'm doing it right now. And I just did it. It may not have been the prettiest spreadsheet, but I got everything I needed done, and I submitted it. And so that's one of the things that now that anxiety is off of me. Now it's a process of going in and getting the materials that I need for these shows. And not knowing, the uncertainty of not knowing when the show is going to start, it's really like, oh. And I hope you hear it. The rain coming down right now, because it's really going on my tin roof right now. If you can't hear it, I apologize if I say, but it's like, to me, that's the best sound in the world, is this rain. And I know God has got me. There's been some storms, a lot of storms, a lot of physical storms, meaning that North Carolina has been hit with a lot of really rainy and thunderstorm weather. If you live in North Carolina, in the south, anywhere, there's bad storms because humidity is high. But there's also been some emotional ones. And I feel like every time that I can come on and share with you something that I've learned that week or something that's touched me, it's giving me not only an outlet, but also maybe helping someone else. So have that faith of knowing that if you could just touch that hem, if you could just get close enough to touch it, or just call out to God and say, help me, that things are going to happen. Before, I wouldn't have asked about counseling, but I reached out to two of my friends who were counselors, who actually, unfortunately, things were busy, and they couldn't suggest people because I can't go to them because I know them personally on a personal level, and it would take the whole relationship. You're supposed to have that, what's that called, that distance from your counselor. So, yeah. So I hope you guys are blessed. I will put in the show notes the two books that I talked about as well as the Bible verses. And y'all be blessed. Keep chatting. And most importantly, if you feel like you are close to that Him, but you just need that little bit of extra help, if you need help with anything in your life, please reach out to someone who can help you. Because there is power when you reach out. It's not weak to say, hey, I'm struggling. I need some help. It's not weak to do that. I was taught for so long that that was a weakness, but it's not. It's actually strength. When you know that you can't do it all on your own, and you know you're at your breaking point, and that you just can't do it, reaching out to someone. Be blessed. Keep chatting. And keep reaching for that hem of His garment. Until next time.
Chats from the Blog Cabin.
Hit subscribe.
And don't miss the next episode.